Absolutely.
Meaning it's being recorded.
And local producers as well. I've got a couple of egg producers.
You talk to me after meeting on that?
I absolutely will.
Okay. Anything else, Matt?
No, just I can't wait. The sky's the limit. You can do infrastructure. You can do anything with this money. It's a good deal. You do have to have the money up front, so that kind of puts some people at a disadvantage. But you know, if it's awarded up to 150 per individual, you know, say you're doing 20 grand in fencing to make things easy, you'll have to pay for it out of pocket and then ask for a reimbursement 45 minutes later. But it's a huge opportunity. Saves Livestock got in on the last one. And hopefully we can get our school, one of the grants, and several producers lined up. I even have Chris Montgomery is going to do blueberries for the kids.
Sweet.
So he'll be able to really pump and promote what we're doing on the radio. So I think that's an added bonus. Good opportunity to just open up.
Great. Ready for a greenhouse, Stephanie?
I wrote it on my list.
Anything, woman? Okay. Executive Director.
I'm just going to share what's gone on beyond, because it's been a very busy week beyond the when I sent the report. You know, we've had some vandalism in Susanville. Are you all aware of that? It's awful. And so I know Elle was up there. She's been getting quotes from auto body shops and from painters to try to take care of business. Stephanie, do you know what progress she made today?
I talked to her this afternoon, early afternoon, and she was still waiting. She had a couple quotes. She was still waiting for a couple more. We're working on some ideas for the school van to see where we're at with that, but waiting back to hear from her. But everything is moving pretty quickly. So we should have something. She was working on getting the police report. They needed some quotes in order to finalize the report. So.
Hey, Stephanie, I got a quick question.
Uh-huh.
Is there any chance this happened by our students to our school? I'm just curious.
My gut feeling says no. I think what's happening is we just have a really nice big white canvas for some folks in the neighborhood that are trying to stake their claim. It appears that it's two, we've had two incidences to the building, and it appears that they're the separate, one being the northern gang, if you will, and one being the southern. So
yes, Susanville needs two gangs.
Right. I don't think, and you know, just being out in the hallways and things, I haven't heard any conversation other than kids being upset. So I don't think so. I think it's a neighborhood thing, and unfortunately.
It's a small world. Any leads on who you think it is? I'm just curious.
So there's a few. So the post office, the gentleman from the he was here today, and he said that he's noticed it all over town in this area just recently, but all over town it's been happening. And there's definitely a group of suspects that the police are aware of. But that, you know, I think maybe one of our previous students has been involved in the previous vandalism, but I don't think this time. But there's nothing concrete.
Okay. I was just curious what you were hearing up there.
And you do have a little bit of video showing.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I have a couple video clips. And unfortunately, they had their faces covered.
Okay.
Okay.
So we're pursuing that. We obviously have insurance, so we'll be putting in a claim. But meanwhile, trying to get an actual report, a police report. There still was not a police report done. And this happened Saturday, right, Stephanie?
It was Friday late, or Friday early evening. It was about 10, 9:45.
Okay.
The police needed an amount to verify what the charge would be, whether misdemeanor or felony.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So we're on it. Thank you. That's all I have time to highlight.
Okay. Finance report.
And so you got sent the finance report printed. I did not have our person come because the next time you meet will be time to look at interim and he'll come for that. He has offered, and I'm putting this out, I can email everyone. He wants to know if anybody wants like a finance 101 sort of workshop done, explaining the finance reports and the cycle and, you know, some processes. So he offered to do that, that we could do at a board meeting. I said, how long would it take? He said, you know, 30 to 60 minutes. And I said, could you do it in 20?
I'll do it in 20.
He said he could. He said he could. And I could do it another time and just open it to staff too. So is there interest in that offhand? Okay.
They might.
If those numbers look good to you, then.
But we're the oversight.
Right.
No, I guess.
Yeah. I don't have any concerns today.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But then if it's not going to be at a board meeting and there's up to two board members, I don't need to make it any kind of special board meeting, right? So I'll just put it out there and see if anyone else is interested. And
you can always have a board training, though. Board meeting too, then.
Right.
Okay. Program reports are submitted in writing. Information items are ready scores.
Okay.
Kathy. It's not me anymore. Don't look at me.
No, it's not. It's me.
Kathy is taking over all things testing. Partly because it ties so well, you know, with all the intervention and my plate is just a little overwhelmed. And then, you know, this will be my last board meeting for a few months.
Yeah.
So it's all Kathy now.
All right, Kathy.
It's me. Hi. Intervention administrator. So there is a report in the board packet, but then I have this little slideshow to kind of go through it and report out. So this is our iReady scores for the beginning of the year. And I really want to emphasize that this is our baseline for our growth and achievement this year. So we're going to start with Long Valley. And we're going to look at reading overall. So we have 20% of our students are scoring on or above grade level, 25 are one grade level below, and then 54% are scoring two or more grade levels below. And then looking at the placement by domain, I want to highlight the strengths of our foundational skills. Those are our phonological awareness, phonics, and high frequency words. And really that's showing up in our upper grades, that they are continuing and have those skills. And it's really important because of decoding words and reading aloud and being accurate when they read, and that will really support their comprehension. But looking at reading by grade level, again, I really want to emphasize that this is the beginning of the school year. So when we see kind of these big bands of yellow and red, a lot of it is, it's expected this early in the year. Students have not received the instruction in some of the grade level content that the test presents, and then it adapts to their level to really find kind of the baseline at to where they are. You know, research shows that we have to also take into account for summer slide or a small amount of learning loss. And so really looking at that, again, it's common to see at grade one, we're gonna have a big yellow band because they're still working on those foundational skills. We didn't do kindergarten at this point, but I think we will test them in spring and you'll see this big green because they'll have all those foundational skills. But the areas that we do wanna work on are informational text. 79% of our students are below grade level. And then, literature, that's the comprehension or understanding of fictional text and vocabulary. So some of the recommendations, you know, monitoring those students, they're reading aloud, making sure that they do have strong fluency, listening to teachers read text to them, increasing the direct instruction, increasing our instruction in vocabulary, and then of course the iReady lessons. So let's look at math. So again, and these scores are very comparable to where we were at the beginning of the year last year. We have 6% of our students scoring above grade level, 38% one grade level below, and 55% are two or more. I want to point out the strengths in four mathematics, number and operations. We have over half of our students above grade level or one grade level above. And that's super important because that's the fundamental ability to understand numbers and compute our basic operations. So that's really great that we have over half of our students scoring in the green and yellow, along with measurement and data. That's those shows our students are growing in their ability to interpret data, helps in problem solving, those real life skills that we want students to carry on in through high school and beyond. So looking at math, again, we're looking at Long Valley. We're going to do the same for, Wilma. Did you have a question?
Or no, Sean has a question. Sean had a question.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes.
You said the numbers are comparable. Do you have the numbers from 22 when they took
it? I do. Hold on. I have them on one of my screens. Oh, yeah. You know what? Give me a sec. Can I go through this and then yes, pull them up? Sorry. Yeah. I did have them prepared. And I think with all of my different screens and making sure it's right, I think I closed it out by accident, but I did want to go back because I wanted to look. The difference in the numbers are that the amount of students that were tested in Long Valley, that number is higher from last year, but you'll still see that our students were scoring very close to the same, but I will get that. So we have our math by grade, so geometry, which is very typical at this time of year, but algebra and algebraic thinking. So we want to really increase our direct instruction in that because, you know, algebraic thinking is, you know, that basic mathematical thought and reasoning. So some of the things we can implement in the classrooms are daily number talks, math tasks. Those are those hands-on problem solving. Number talks are, you know, working through mental math problems. We want to definitely at Long Valley continue our school-wide intervention practices. And we also want to look into math curriculum with strong instructional practices in mathematics, especially now that the new math framework has been released by the CDE. So what I want to show next is projected proficiency snapshots. They are available to us each time the students take a diagnostic. And these are approximate percentages of students and where they would place in our CASP, like our state test level tests. And so they are influenced by many factors, including the timing. So again, we're looking at the beginning of the year. So if we were to give the CASP in November, this is what we would see. So for reading for Long Valley, if students just kind of continued at their expected typical growth, we would have 26 of our students in the proficient level, 30, and then the 74% in not proficient. But if we really target and really work hard at getting our stretch growth, which is really tailoring the education, putting in these intervention practices, the school-wide, the different, you know, having all the students do iReady, the projection at this point in time would be that we would have 47 students proficient at Long Valley in reading. And again, these would change each time we take the diagnostic.
Kathy, did you say this would be in November?
if we were to take the CASP in November, this is what they were projecting. Yeah, but they provide these projections each time we take a diagnostic. So Sarah and I thought it would be interesting to take it now and to download these to share them and then see our projection levels rise as we're implementing all these different interventions and different teaching practices within our classrooms and independent study models.
So then, Kathy, I just want to go one more.
Mm-hmm.
Be able to take these projections, and when we test again in December, January timeframe, we can compare it to what those projections were?
Yep. Yep. Okay.
Thank you.
Absolutely. So then here we have our, again, for math, we have proficient, not proficient, but if we do really put in those practices of the school-wide intervention and really target students and their needs, we see a bigger growth in the proficient level. So let's look at Thompson Peak Charter for their reading. It's 25% are scoring on or above grade level, 19% are one grade level, and 57% of our students are scoring two or more grade levels below. Again, looking at the placement by domain, again, we're seeing that the strengths are in the foundational skills of the phonological awareness, phonics, and high frequency, or knowing and being able to read those high frequency words. Again, we have a strong yellow band in first and second grade. That's typical at this point. They're still really working through and gaining those foundational skills. But in our third through eight, we really want to increase our understanding and reading of informational text and making sure that we are increasing our direct instruction when it comes to academic vocabulary, also how to explicitly read and cite literary or informational text. And those reading lessons are really important, are the iReady lessons. For math, we have 13% of our students are scoring above on or above grade level, 19% one, and one grade level below, and 68% are scoring two or more grade levels below. And this is based on 117 students. Again, we're seeing that these number and operations are really high at 56% of our students having that as a strength along with measurement and data is 61%. But and also geometry is an area which is kind of typical at the beginning of this year. And also algebraic thinking at 83%. And so recommendation is increasing direct instruction, and that's exactly what is happening at Thompson Peak. They're bringing in students. They have the math classes. They're also doing intervention practices where they're meeting students two times a week in both math and writing, which is fantastic. And that's led by Stephanie and her teachers over there. Another recommendation, again, is daily number talks or math tasks and having those academic and great conversations around mathematics. And another really great recommendation would be video-based math instruction and curriculum that supports that. For their projected proficiency summaries, we've got 39% if they just continue going at where they're going. But if you really put in those stretched growth, or you're really targeting like they're doing with the two times a week and really meeting students and their needs, we see a huge, huge growth if that was projected at this point. At 63% of students being proficient in reading again, that's 3 through 8. Math, if 14%, if we were just doing what we wanted, just working at, and they're just achieving their typical growth measures. But if we really target and do these instructional practices, we see a gain of 27% at this point. So I am going to stop sharing so I can get the snapshots from last year. Is there any questions based on all that while I'm looking really quick.
I have a couple questions. Is there a way to compare this to any other schools? Or do you have that capability?
No, we don't with iReady. But what might be exciting is next meeting, we'll be able to do that with our CASP scores. So I will be able to show how are we doing with other schools in our area, along with difference in how we're doing with state. This is only really local, I mean us.
Yeah, we have no access to anyone else.
We don't have any access to that unless they willingly wanted to share it with us. So I found the report from last year. Are you guys seeing it?
Not yet, no.
Oh, sorry, I have to hit the button share. My apologies. So this is the iReady summary data from October of 2022 that was reported out. So again, there were more students that were assessed, but the levels are pretty, you know, we still are seeing, again, the strengths in the phonemic or the phonological awareness, phonics, high frequency word, informational text was still an area of concern in vocabulary. This is for Long Valley.
Did it say 23? And it's really
this small. Is 20. Yeah. This is 2022. This is last year's data. You were asking to see it. Yeah. Sean?
Will you make it bigger for us?
Can yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Let me know when it's. Is that good?
23%. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. So this is last year. So you can start because I was starting to kind of look at it. Again, there are more students that were assessed last year at Long Valley. But again, we're still looking at some of the same areas. The informational text was an area at the beginning of the year, which again is kind of what you can see at the beginning of the year. This is, you know, a lot of students are being tested at the new grade level. It does adapt to them, but if over the summer they weren't really reading or being engaged with literary text or informational, you can see a slight decrease in scores at this point. And then here's math. So this again, this is you're looking at 2022 in the fall. And then this is Thompson Peak. Let me know if you want me to scroll or if you want me to stay on.
Is that the math score?
Math.
11%. Thank you.
Yeah. And this is what I'm showing right now is Thompson Peak math overall. And again, areas to focus, algebra and algebraic thinking and geometry.
So I know it's a different number of students, but on average, we lost 3 points across the board.
Mm-hmm.
Any other questions for Kathy?
I just have one. If after the spring testing, if we could kind of see these same percentages mm-hmm. that we have right now and what they are after the spring testing, like side by side.
Absolutely. That's definitely my plan. I want to be able to bring where we were at each of our diagnostic testing points. So we'll have another one in December. And then hopefully in January, I can share those results. And then we can kind of start seeing more of the side-by-side growth. So absolutely.
Thank you.
I have one, Kathy. Do we have a goal in mind? Like per se in reading, we're 54% two grade levels or more below. Do we want to be at 40% with that number going over to being current and not two grade levels below? Or do we have a goal in mind for the spring as far as the numbers go, what percentage for what? Or
yeah, I think that's a really important thing to have. And so actually tomorrow the leadership team is meeting and we can hopefully be able to come up with some of that, and then I can report that out in December what our target goals are.
So we only had set the goals for the CASP testing.
Right, this is the I-Ready, right?
And we were seeking to improve by 2 percentage points in the met or exceeded the level three, the mastery level.
In the CASP.
In the CASP, right. So we didn't take I-Ready and set goals. I think it's kind of interesting to see some of the predictor reports now,
right?
Because that shows significant growth if we're doing all the things that we say we're doing.
Right.
And so I think then that'll really give us a, I mean, it's good to have a goal no matter what. But
right.
Yeah.
But we could always compare them to what we're predicting and then go from there. Okay.
Any other questions?
Thank you, Kathy.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Instruction update?
Nick, I see you on there.
I'm a background here. I'm in my dirty office. Good evening, everybody. So give you an update here on the project. Most of you or many of you are on site, so you've probably been able to go over there and check it out. We got our pad certified on Monday, and they've started digging footings. They're going to start putting in rebar tomorrow. The footing should have been completed the end of today. We will be completing the project around, the current schedule is showing around the end of February, depending on weather, of course. There's still underground work to do. We have to do the sewer tie-in, water tie-in, put conduits in, but the main portion that's taken us a little longer than it probably should have, the dirt work and the pad setup has been completed. So the pad should be going a lot faster. Or I'm sorry, the continuing work should be going a lot faster than it has been.
Did you say the whole project should be done by the end of February? Is that what you said?
That's what the schedule currently says. I don't want to, you know, guarantee that by any means. You know, it's supposed to be a wet winter, so we'll see what happens. The good thing is with the pad starting, once the concrete's done and the building gets here, we can work around the weather easier. Of course, as soon as the building's up, then it gives us a dried-in area to work. So we can work whatever the weather is.
Thank you. I thought I heard you say the end of February, and I just wanted to make sure I wasn't misunderstanding what you were saying.
So right now we have it as final building inspection Wednesday, February 28th, and final completion on March 4th. Again, that's the current schedule, but weather and construction issues could push that back. And I would assume there's a high likelihood of that occurring, but that is our current schedule that we have.
Thank you.
But our dirt work took a bit longer than we would have preferred. So that's been a bit of a frustration to get done. It's more or less complete. Like I said, there's still underground work to do. But now that we're moving into the concrete phase, it'll help out significantly with getting the building done, or no, getting the building delivered, getting the building erected. So I'm feeling much better now that the dirt work's complete.
So the dirt is done, next is concrete.
Correct.
Do we know why dirt work took longer than estimated?
I'm trying to think of how to say this in the right way. The contractor that we had, it's very difficult to get people up to Doyle to do any work of any sort. This was the only contractor we were able to get up to Doyle to do dirt work, and I don't think he was necessarily the most ideal contractor, but he was all that we could get for a subcontractor. So you know, the work has been fine. It's all been inspected and tested, so there's no issue with the work. It's just, I think if we might have been in Reno or Susanville, we might have had the opportunity to get somebody that might have been a bit more efficient.
that help?
Well, yeah, I assume when they all got awarded, they knew who would be doing that and knew where Doyle was located. So it just surprises me that.
There was also a family issue where there was
a family issue. There was a family issue as well. The problem is Reno is bustling, as everybody knows. So trying to get people to come from Reno is difficult. The contractor pool from Susanville is limited. This contractor came all the way out of Marysville, Yuba City area, to come up to Doyle for the work. So we had to search long and far in order to find somebody to come up there and do the work. I know we've talked about this before, Sherry, just trying to find somebody to repave the basketball courts has been a bit of a challenge. So,
but I ask you to throw that out so that if anybody here has a suggestion for someone not on your radar, right? Because there was somebody you had talked to initially.
Yeah, Crazy J gave a bit.
Oh, yeah. Concrete.
They're praise back.
Yeah, Crazy J, is that who you're speaking about? Yeah. He did provide a bid. It was significantly higher than the proposal that we had from this other gentleman. And so it's cost us maybe a bit of time, but we're talking six figures in different pricing.
Okay. Anybody else know? Asphalt. Is that what it is?
Kirkpatrick sold, but I don't remember who it sold to. I can try to find that.
What about, there's Allphase Landscape out of Chester?
I don't think Allphase does like asphalt and whatnot, do they?
They do.
They do? Okay. Mm-hmm. I'll get with Modern and talk to them about that. I know they searched quite a ways to try to find people. The other problem is not just the isolated location, but everybody's so busy these days, trying to find anybody to do any sort of work is a real struggle. But needless to say, the hard part, the dirt work is complete. The main portion of the dirt work is complete. We still have some, you know, trenching utilities to install, but we can start working on the formwork and concrete. So that's the important part.
Hey, Nick, are the rest of our subs all dialed in for the rest of the project?
They are, and I've had several conversations with Modern about the rest of the contractors, and all the rest of the contractors are known quantities that we've worked with in the past, so I don't have any concerns about the rest of the contractors. This is a new contractor that Modern just had found. They've got them on another project, too, but they'd never used them before until the last 3 months or so.
So how much work is being, like what work is still being subbed out that Modern's not doing themselves?
Modern's doing the concrete themselves internally. Most of the other work is subbed out. That's typically how most commercial contractors work, is they sub out most work. Some do concrete, maybe some do framing, but a vast majority hire all the individual trades out. With maybe, you know, some laborers doing portions of the work, but the majority of it's, you know, you're hiring an electrician, hiring a plumber, hiring a metal building erector. But all the folks that we have on this project, other than the dirt work guy, is a known quantity that we've worked with in the past and have history with. So I'm not concerned about having the same issues with the remaining contractors.
Other questions, comments? Nick, thanks for jumping in, giving us an update. I just can't even believe you're saying the end of February, beginning of March, you know, June, July.
Well, now that we've gotten the start going, it was a little slower than I know we'd all hoped by maybe a couple weeks, but now that we've gotten going, that's the big thing. Now it's just going to be dependent on the weather.
Okay. Yep. Thank you very much.
I just want to write it. See
you. Right, thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Review of COVID-19 plan.
Okay.
Which was submitted in writing.
It was submitted in writing.
So are we doing a first reading?
So no, we don't need to as a charter.
Okay.
But the policy has been in effect. I just wanted to have the opportunity to point out that what we've done with this policy is eliminate a whole bunch of it. We still have a requirement because we're still receiving funds for COVID assistance. So we still have to have it in place. But I just wanted you to appreciate how much is gone. The California Department of Public Health has really reduced, and what they're starting to talk about now are precautions for COVID, RSV, and flu. So they're just saying, you know, we have those, we should be thinking of them in a similar manner of how we prevent them. So really it's about cleaning, washing your hands. They're still saying we had to make statements that we can't prevent anyone from wearing a mask, but we're not making any kind of requirements. And we've maintained that we're not putting requirements above anything. So I just wanted an opportunity to share that out loud and opening our doors back up for people to come in and participate in school.
Yeah.
I know. I would
love the purple part.
Gone.
Yep.
Okay.
All right. Williams report or Thompson Peak.
Okay, that is going to be with Miss Stephanie.
Hello. We had recently had our second year Williams monitoring visit from Lask County Office of Ed folks, and happy to report that our visit revealed a well-maintained and safe school. And there were just a couple minor maintenance issues, like they saw there was an extension cord being used for something permanent. And the majority of the larger things are stuff that we're addressing in our construction plans. So that's great. And everything else, we have sufficient standards aligned instructional materials. And we don't have any teacher vacancies, and we have two teachers on staff with a less than a preliminary or clear teaching credential. So we'll have one more year before they'll come out again, before we will look at these numbers again and see if we fall into that category. But for now, we are in good shape, and I have a couple things to repair. There was they needed a GFI protection in the kitchen, and then I can let them know that we have updated everything here.
And again, that's a 3-year, you're in it, you're tag, you're it, so you're staying in it. So they have to come out and do these visits, which I love, because the county comes out and says, oh, wow, like, you're a regular school. Look at the operation, children are here, right? So that's a positive. And the other thing is, right now the state is going with this 15%. If you have 15% of your teaching staff with less than preliminary teaching credentials, which means like you have an emergency type credential or a temporary credential, they're credentialed and recognized as that way, but they fall into this group who have lesser credentials. And when you have 7 teachers getting 15%, I just want you to know we're always going to have 15%, and our other Long Valley may end up in that as well, because it's really hard to maintain that in today's marketplace.
Yeah, that's what Norman was saying.
Yeah.
Thank you. All right, action items. Discussion of possible action regarding approval of updated surplus/vehicle replacement policy. I have a motion.
I'll make a motion.
Do I have a second? Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Passes. Discussion of possible action regarding approval of updated student wellness policy 6014.
I'll make a motion.
I'll second.
Any discussion on that?
Was there anything that changed between this year and last year as far as the wellness policy? It says updated, but I didn't know if there was anything.
Yeah, the lawyer took it into her hands and added pieces that were required. Can you recall some of the details?
I can't, because okay. I'm wrong. It was just updated in the new laws that California came out with that we have to abide by for this food service.
Okay, all those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Discussion of possible action regarding approval of annual establishment of enrollment.
I'll make the motion.
I'll second.
Okay, discussion? All those in favor, aye.
Aye.
Discussion possible action regarding approval of new playground equipment for the Doyle campus.
Okay. So can I say you don't have information on that? I do have some information if you're interested in hearing it.
This isn't?
That is. Okay. But you didn't have it prior to tonight.
Right, yeah.
And I Katie has a couple images of the structures.
So what are you asking?
I am asking for I would like to work with California Playgrounds and do wood chips.
Option one or option two?
Yeah. Option one.
I'm going to say that option one with wood chips. And I would like you to approve an amount up to $100,000.
Where's the $100,000 on here?
It's not on here. It's so $86,000.
Over the 86.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay. And just in case for a while.
Right. Because Misty's going to look in greater detail at the actual structure and she's going to say, take out that slide, put in this thing so it could bump it around a little bit.
I'm going to make a motion to go with option one, not to exceed $110,000.
110.
Yep.
I'll second.
Any discussion? All those in favor? Aye.
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 Discussion and possible action regarding approval of law enforcement official on campus policy 5001.
I'll make the motion and talk about it.
I'll second.
This is, I'm guessing, one of our policies.
It's all lawyer written.
Right, right.
So right now we're having a discussion with the DA in Florence County, who is demanding that we release records. Stephanie had an interesting situation where a court-appointed counsel for a student was requesting records. And both entities do not understand that the law they are all quoting does not apply to a charter school. And so I asked the attorney, could we have a policy that included that as well as when a police officer shows up, what do we do?
Which is what?
So, okay.
So Plumas County, was that only for Bartolo location?
Yes, they're at, so Plumas, I will answer your question, but the Plumas County DA they started a SARB process with a family while the kids were at the Portola High School. Okay, the kid left the high school, came to our program, and now they want to know, are they attending? Well, first off, attendance is a little different in independent study. Right, it's a whole different measure. So basically we have to go by FERPA rules. And the FERPA says we need a subpoena or parent consent to release that information. We asked the parent and they said, hell no. And so now they have to come up with a subpoena, but it's actually required. I sent a letter to the DA and now the attorney has sent a letter to the DA. Because they're being pretty insistent this time. As far as the policy goes, a police officer may speak to a student here, but we need to, so what's in that policy also says that we are allowed to say to the student as the administrators, would you like one of us to be there with you?
That's what you're adding to the policy?
That's in the policy that the lawyers wrote up.
Yes.
We don't have this policy at all right now.
Yes.
Okay, so this is brand new for us.
So this is basically protecting the students.
Protecting the students, protecting the schools, so we know what we can and can't do or say.
So they can talk to a student without a parent there?
They may. Yeah.
If the student consents. Correct?
Well, no. We have to allow them that access. The student could choose to say nothing, but they
have access. This policy would say
it's going to tell all of us exactly what we can and can't do when they show up.
And you'll ask the kid, would you like us to stay in here?
Mm-hmm. That's a right we have, and we need to let the kid know.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then we're allowed to call the parent and give them the heads up that, you know.
Oh, yes. Yeah. You have to call the parent.
Right.
So this is just to move forward with writing a policy? Is that what this item's for?
The lawyer wrote a policy.
Oh, okay.
That's this policy that I'd like to add and have in place so that we're all crystal clear on our side of what we can and can't do.
Is that in our policy to call the parents ahead of time?
That is. That? Well, not ahead of time. If that police officer shows up and says they are going to speak to so-and-so, they are allowed to speak to them. Our thing is to call the parent right away. Like, right. If I were Misty, I'd be like, they'll call so-and-so or to Jade.
Right.
Misty's going to talk to the student and ask, you're entitled to someone from the school here to be with you while you're being questioned. Would you like me to be with you?
Right.
So I just want that spelled out so that we are ready.
Okay. I can see some very upset parents.
Well, this will help.
Yeah. If it has long term, long as they fall.
I mean, you know, again, I don't want a police officer making statements and demands without our people knowing what is and what isn't.
And it really depends on the situation too.
Right.
Because if there's like child abuse or something, of course you would not want to contact the parent.
Right.
Parent is leading the abuse.
Right. Well, in that.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
Exactly.
And that's actually spelled out in the policy, except in instances of child abuse.
Right.
Does that happen?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what have we done up to this point?
I am going to say that we have followed that.
Okay.
And it changed because I was actually a teacher at Fort Sage, and my oldest daughter told one of the other teachers that I beat her up. And so I pulled up the website and it said frequently asked questions. It's a good idea to let the parent know. The CPS will visit.
Oh, yeah. CPS. Okay. Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Yeah,
I bet you weren't. Surprise.
He works at the county office now. I wonder who it is. Okay, all those in favor, aye.
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 Motion passes. Future items, annual review of parents involved.
Yeah.
Did I forget some?
Yeah.
Where's that?
Did we kick that one off for the COVID health and safety policy?
Oh, I don't.
You don't have that?
Okay.
We'll go with that. Discussion possible action regarding revised COVID policy.
Motion to approve.
They don't have a motion. Jason, you don't have a
second. Well, was that on our special meeting? Or
no,
it's not. Okay, that's right.
Wow.
Okay.
I'll put it on the next one.
Okay.
It's okay because in that policy, you gave me the ability to make changes.
It's on.
Oh,
Sean, you just got the lucky one.
You know what? We got
to get the updated one.
Yeah.
Well, what agenda did we approve? Well, they was this motion.
I approved this agenda.
So, Jason's the first, and Wilma's the second. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Motion passed.
Thank you.
Future items. With you, Title One and updated television. We are adjourned.
At what time?
6:36.
Any pictures of this fancy option one play structure?
Yeah. Hey, can you? We're adjourned. I'm going to stop the recording of this and then start it again for the special meeting. Okay.